Jess Kelly's Tech Takeover on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, AI is currently the next big thing, but it's just the latest in a long line of next big things. They don't all become big things, though. Jess Kelly, our technology correspondent, is with me to talk about the next big things that weren't.
Yeah.
So, Jess, where do we start?
I think we need to start with 3D TVs. Do you remember them?
Yeah. Can I tell you a story about 3D TV?
Please do.
So I lived in Vancouver and we worked in a building beside the Shaw's. Shaw's like kind of Sky, they're a big TV provider.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in and they had a 3D TV in the lobby. We were in getting a coffee and we put on the glasses. And as we put them on, Jim Furyk scored a hole in one at the Masters just as we put them on. And we went absolutely buck ape. We were like, we could not believe it. We'd put on the visors just as this happened, until a guy tapped us on the shoulder and said, that happened yesterday. That's just on the loop. We're just showing that all day to people.
But did you like the experience of the 3D thing?
I thought it looked cool. But I don't know. I mean, it was a novelty.
It was a novelty. And this is the big thing. So let's just bring everybody back to 2010. So at the Consumer Electronics Show, which is the big thing in the world of tech, it's where they always unveil the new gadgets and gizmos that we're all going to be using. The 3D TV was unveiled and people went bananas for it because it came out at a time where Avatar 3D was the biggest movie. And a lot of us saw Avatar 3D in 3D, obviously, in the cinema with the glasses on. So the prospect of being able to have that type of experience at home was exciting. But when you dug a little bit deeper, there were a few caveats that came with the L3D TV.
Okay.
If you're a Hane, you obviously had to have the glasses on. If you're a Doe, you had to sit at certain positions within a room. Because if you sat, say, too far left, if your TV's in the centre of a room,
yeah,
you've got the couch in front of the telly, but perhaps you have an armchair or two to the left or to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the vantage point and ensuring that they were lined up so that you could get the impact of...
Oh, so I couldn't lie out on my chaise-longue.
On your chaise-longue? No, you couldn't. It wouldn't work. You'd have to be in a certain vantage point to get the value of it. So, for example, because we were talking about it at home at the time and laughing at the notion of it, but if you had to take out a measuring tape every time your friends came round... to make sure that everyone was sitting in the perfect vantage point. It just wasn't going to work. So what's interesting is it was unveiled in 2010. 41 million 3D TVs were sold in 2012. Talk about a hype and a buzz. However, in 2013, the decline became imminent, like completely apparent. And by 2016, all production had stopped.
Wow.
So this was a flash in the pan. They were expensive, only the most notions of notions. People got their paws on one. But within a matter of years, they were obsolete.
So they are gone. There's no 3D content being produced now.
Well, this was the Ivera tree on my list. Not only were you have to wear the glasses and sit in the right places, was there enough content to warrant it? Yes, you could watch Avatar 3D. You could watch certain 3D things that were specially curated for the TV. But not every film or TV show or even TV channel was being produced for 3D.
If you're going to sit down with your 3D TV and watch Home and Away, I mean, Bobby's head was not going to come out of the fridge in 3D.
Imagine if it did, though.
Class.
It would be great. Or to see inside the diner, feel like you're inside the diner. But between the cost, the practicalities and the content, it just wasn't there. Also, what happens if you came over for movie night? We only had two pairs of glasses. Me and Harry called dibs on those. You were just sitting there while we were wearing essentially indoor
glasses.
Oh,
what would it look like to me?
So you, it would look kind of slightly blurry as if... Yeah, it wouldn't align.
How did people think this was a good idea?
I don't know, but you know what? 41 million people bought them in 2012, so good luck to them.
One listener says, I still use it.
What?
It was €4,000 in 2016 and I still utilise it a couple of times a month. I absolutely love my TV and its 3D abilities, so they're having none of it, Jess.
You're the only person in the country. Fair play to you. There might be a box for that in the next census. Just lock it in.
I'm surprised that you're the next choice of next big things that weren't. Nokia phones.
Yeah, and it's funny because... You know, back in the 90s and early noughties, if you were talking about mobile cellular telephones, you were talking about a Nokia or a BlackBerry. They were the only kids in town. However, as we know, the iPhone came out 17 years ago and shook everything up. I always can picture so clearly the image of Steve Jobs standing on the stage going, you know, a music player, a calculator, a whatever, like teasing people with the notion of the iPhone. And Nokia, who had dominated in the mobile space, were so confident in their own devices and operating systems that they completely I was going to say a bad word there, but completely fell behind. They just, they stuck to their own operating system, which was called Symbian.
Mm.
Have you ever heard of Symbian?
No, I haven't. No.
What a shock. It was clunky. It wasn't slick. The app store wasn't populated. And so Nokia completely disappeared off the face of the earth. The reason they are in your head now today as a company that still exists is because the brand name Nokia and the rights for the phones was bought by another company called HMD Global.
Okay.
So the Nokia phones, if you're somebody today who's got a Nokia phone, not from back in the day, but a newer one, that's not actually old school Nokia. That's HMD Global's Nokia. So they've bought the name, the logo.
So James Bond uses Nokia phones,
yes,
or did in the more recent movies. And they're pretty good. I had one for a little while.
Yes.
And but that's not an original Nokia.
It's not an original. And do you know what
it's
the
just
big,
the brand.
It's the brand. And do you know what the big difference is? When HMD Global took it over, the first thing they did was put it on the Android operating system. They got rid of Symbian entirely. They joined the crowd and they made it a success. But it just shows that these big tech companies who dominate our lives today, they may not always be the case. Think of Tom on MySpace. Have you ever heard from Tom from MySpace?
I was not on MySpace.
Oh, now I feel old. Okay, yeah. Moving swiftly on. Thank
Google
you
Glass.
Much. Yeah. So, like, Google Glass, I think if it was launched today as a concept, right?
Yeah.
It would absolutely fly off the shelves. But this is another example of tech being ahead of its time. The idea was that you would wear special spectacles on your face, and in the top corners of the glasses, you would have little screens that you could control with your eyes. Now, this was all the rage in 2013, I think it was. But guess the price tag. No, sorry, 2015. Guess the price tag.
Oh, God, I can't remember. $200 or $300, was it?
$1,500 dues.
Oh, God.
A lot of money. Now, the big thing was the tech was cool. There were people, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the word, but we'll give it a go. They were called glassholes, who went around wearing them because it was slightly obnoxious to walk around with it.
It looked awful, though.
Yeah, it looked, you know, like something from the Matrix.
Function must follow form.
Yes, but the practicality was great because you say, for example, if I said I'm going to meet you in some place in Grafton Street here in Dublin, I could pull it up on maps without having to touch my phone. I could see the little arrow and I could follow my way down and all the rest. So the practicality was great, but people got freaked out because of the privacy. Now, this is something that's cropped up again in the last few years when the likes of Meta and Snapchat got into glasses with cameras on them. But back then, all those years ago, when the Google Glass first came about, people were just not impressed at all. And unfortunately, between the price, the practicality and the privacy, it also died a death.
Vine. So I saw this on your list and I tell you what, I can't really remember what it was.
So Vine,
was it a social media platform?
Exactly. It was a video-based social media platform. Again, way ahead of its time. It's kind of akin to TikTok and so on. But the premise was it was 6-second videos.
Oh, that was it.
So it was kind of like GIFs, longer version of GIFs that would just loop and loop and loop and loop. And an awful lot of content creators absolutely loved it because it was a great expression or way for them to express themselves in a visual form. Way back when social media wasn't necessarily as big as it is today, it was so big and popular that Twitter actually acquired it.
Was there someone famous behind it? Were there famous people involved in Vine?
Oh, there's famous people involved in all of these companies. I'm sure if you dig down enough in the investor list, you'll see it. But when Twitter bought it, they didn't put enough money into the growth and the potential of the platform. Whereas the likes of Snapchat and Meta with their or Facebook, as they were back then, with their Instagram platform, started introducing new ways to use video. And also new ways to monetize video. Because if you were one of those content creators who was super popular on Vine, you had no way to make money from it.
Mm.
And that was the key difference. So in 2017, it shut down. Now, it was still incredibly popular. I know a lot of content creators were devastated when it shut down. But it has now obviously since been replaced with the likes of Snapchat and TikTok and Instagram and every other platform under the sun.
Before you go, Jess, I mean, that's a little trip down memory lane. Mini discs are the one that always jumped to my mind as the next big thing that really weren't.
Mm.
They got overtaken by, I guess, streaming services and MP3 players.
Mm-hmm.
What is your tech rec this week?
My tech rec this week is a podcast hosted by Joanne McNally. You know, the comedian that every woman in Ireland except me has seen in Vicar Street when she held up her residency. She has a brand new podcast with the BBC and it's called Who Replaced Avril Lavigne?
Okay.
Now, this is a wild TikTok conspiracy theory that I had never heard of. But the story goes that Avril Lavigne, massively popular with people my age, she was all we thought about, sang about, wore the ties and all the rest trying to mimic her. But apparently she died and was replaced by a lookalike.
Oh, no way, really?
And that's why Avril Lavigne went from the punk grungy thing to the pink punk princess that she did. Apparently, this replacement is shorter, has different handwriting, the tone of her voice is different. So Joanne McNally has set
out... He's black and is a man.
Joanne McNally has set out to find out...
An alarm bell. Something looks weird about Avril there.
If there is any truth to this. Do you know why I love this? Because it's akin to the conspiracy...
He was a skater, boy.
I'm going to try and finish this sentence. It's akin to the theory that Paul McCartney died. Have you ever heard the Paul is dead theory?
Oh, yeah.
Obsessed with that. So Joanne McNally has brought around the 2024 version of this. It's not the most serious investigative journalistic thing I've ever heard. It's like, you know, when one of your friends sends you a long rambling voice note of like, and then I saw this other thing and come here to me. And it's very conversational. I think you would hate it.
Yeah, I mean,
you lost me there. You're absolutely
like a
going to hate
voice
it.
Note.
But the story is great. She's a bit of crack and I would highly recommend
it. Who replaced Avril Lavigne is the name of it. Jess Kelly, our technology correspondent, thank you very much. Just stay with us here on The Hard Shoulder. Ian Dale of LBC is going to be talking to me after the break.
Hi, Jess Kelly here. If you want more tech news, reviews and insights, make sure you subscribe to the Tech Talk podcast or tune in every Saturday at 5 p.m.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.